On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On The Pace.
Getting on Sunset in front of Acacia Ridge. Sundawn's Gift going roughly. Sundawn's Gift broke up, but it's Galleon Sunset in front, and it'll do it all the way.
Here's Bowtide. Oh, the Tassie Terminator dashes to the lead. It's put pay to them in one fell swoop.
With all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across Australasia, here's your host, Gareth Hall.
26 to 11, and he's up in Brisbane getting ready for the Gold Coast action. Gareth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Cozzy. Yeah, it's great to be in Brisbane. Beautiful weather up here, mate. Been here for a few days now, so we've had a bit of fun. We're here for the Be Good Johnny Sprint and then the Gold Coast Cup on Saturday before the first Grand Circuit race of the season. It comes around pretty quickly, the QPC. So there's plenty happening in harness racing. I know it's exciting times in the Thoroughbreds with the Caulfield Cup on Saturday, but harness racing, we've got the New Zealand Cup not far away, and then the Inter-Dominion. So looking forward to the next month or so, mate.
Now, Gareth, have we established like a routine here? I think last time you went north of the border, that there was a certain attire that you bunged on, and I'm just wondering whether or not we're going to produce the pink suit again?
The pink suit. It's only once a year the pink suit's coming out, Cozzy. It's been on demand. There's been a few race clubs doing some charity events for breast cancer that want the pink suit, but unfortunately, I put on too much kilos since that particular day, and the pink suit doesn't fit me at the moment. So I need to go back into work on the heavy sand with the heavy cart and make sure I get into a little bit of fitness.
All right, good idea.
We've got a big show, but today, mate, and on the phone joining us is the Harness Racing New South Wales' chairman, Rex Horn. And Rex, thanks for your time and On The Pace, but you've got some exciting news to tell us regarding the Breeders' Challenge. Basically, for the first time this year, the series altogether will be worth about $1.5 million, which is just great for the industry in New South Wales.
Yes, that's right, Gareth. Thanks for having us on. We have made some changes at our last board meeting, which I think is a real positive for the industry. What we have done is we've tried to get an even spread as far as the prize money goes, you know, to as many participants as possible. And we have gone and increased the three-year-old races by 25,000 from 125,000 to 150. We did feel as though the two-year-olds are well catered for with the Bathurst Gold Crown at 100 and the APG at 300 and then the Blue Series where a lot of the three-year-olds were lesser in prize money. So that's where we decided to put this additional money.
It's great news for the sport in New South Wales, especially that breeding industry. With your colonial breeding scheme, we've been seeing a lot of better stallions heading to New South Wales. So with the increase in prize money, which has really been an aim for Harness Racing New South Wales, do you think hopefully this will continue on the great success and the bounce back in the breeding industry in New South Wales?
Yes, we're very hopeful. I mean, breeding, as we all know, is just so vital to the overall industry. And we do feel as though the increase in prize money, our strategic plan, we work towards that, especially with our new handicapping system, which has had some very positive results. So this is where we've been able to get this money from, because, as you know, we also have the money from the actual tax money that's coming through, which starts to flow from January. But this is just additional money that we've got through increased turnover. So we're very happy with the way things are going.
And Rex, just quickly with the trotters for this Breeders' Challenge, it's also great news for owners and trainers that have trotters in New South Wales that are bred in New South Wales, because they've had a little bit of a change as well, and a positive change with this Breeders' Challenge.
Yes, trotters is something that I think we go back to Harold Park some 15 yes. years ago when we decided to have a concentrated effort with the trotter, and we've come a long way in that time. I think we were struggling to get one race a week at that stage. Now we have up to two, sometimes three races on a Tuesday and a good race on a Saturday night. So, yes, it is a very, very important part. This year, what we have done in the past, because we haven't had enough Breeders' Challenge eligible trotters, we put others in as well. But then this next year, which is, I might add, always a little bit strange, that sometimes a horse that came first, in actual fact, didn't come first because he wasn't Breeders. He did come first, but he wasn't a Breeders' Challenge horse. So So that was always a little confusing. So this next 12 months, we've decided to, to just go with the Breeders' Challenge horses. And if it's a smallish field in that first 1 or 2 years, we'll be doing that and hoping to build up the trotter, because they are a very, very important part of our industry.
Yeah, I agree. They are building every year, the trotters, especially with France and a lot of international markets betting on our trotters here in Australia. Other big news, the regional finals are now worth $30,000 for the Breeders' Challenge, and they go to Group 3 status, which is terrific. You touched on it just before, your new programming and your handicapping system, Rex. It had a few knockers when you introduced it, I think nearly 6 or 7 months now, but with your research and the results that have been given to you and your board, you've been pretty happy with the new changes?
Yes, actually, it's just over 12 months.
Jeez, time flies, Rex.
Time does go quickly. Yeah, so we've had the first 2 or 3 months, it wasn't a great enough sample, but now we've had 12 months and we can go back on the previous 12 months. We are seeing some positive things. And look, change is always hard. We all know that. We know with the sale of Harold Park and things that we've had to do over the last 15 years, basically to survive, change is difficult, but we needed to make these changes, and what we have seen, first of all, with the average turnover per race has gone up 5,600, which is just on 5%. Now, that's going from negative to, first of all, break square and then get into the positive, so that's been good, and that's up another $1,300 a race in this financial year.
Yep.
The odds on favourites have decreased by 8.2%, and the field sizes have gone from 8.7 to 9.2. And we know through what Tabcorp are telling us, and also the corporate bookmakers, that the closer to 12 horses we can get in the race, the greater the turnover. And that's really important, because we need to turnover to be able to do and to announce these things that we're announcing today.
And 12 horses, I know sometimes for the punters, maybe 12 horses on certain tracks is a little bit too much, but for the industry players, your trainers and drivers, what's the feedback you've been getting from them regarding this new handicapping system and also the increase in field numbers?
Well, the handicapping system itself, we made some changes about January of this year, because we went in fairly hard. We wanted to to make the definite changes, and we sort of came back a little bit with it. And I think the overall trainers, the majority of them, are reasonably happy at the moment. A lot of them still not quite so keen on the divided handicaps. They like to be able to place their horse, but the problem is with C2 and Beta and M2 and Beta, you're getting down to 7 and 8 horses in a race.
Yes.
Then it affects turnover, and of course then it affects the income, and if people can just understand that while we're actually trying to do it. And as I said, it has been successful. There are a lot of races where trainers, like 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, COs, C1s, MOs, M1s, where they can place their horse to where they want to put it. But when it comes into the higher grade, and you have a C2 to C3, C4, and you're trying to make up a field, that's where the divided handicap is so important to the industry, as I said, to be able to get the income for us to move forward.
Rex, just a couple of other points while I've got you on the phone, mate. The Menangle Training Centre, you had an open day on Sunday. That coming along well?
Yes, it is. We had, I think there would have been over 100 people there. I think everybody was very impressed. Of course, it's not completed yet, but we just wanted to give people an idea of what they can expect. And I think at this stage, we've probably got 100 to 120, which we are absolute definites. So, things are going along very well there, and I think that's going to be great for the industry. And, I mean, so when we've done Menangle, we need to go on and do something at Bathurst, and when we build Wagga, I mean, this is just part of our overall strategic plan. It's so important to be able to get young people into the business, because, as we know, especially around Sydney, land is so expensive, and to be able to come in and have a set up there where they can just go straight into training and straight down to the major track, I think it's going to be great for the industry.
Yeah, I totally agree. Great initiative by Harness Racing New South Wales, and already in Queensland, Rex, there's a lot of trainers telling me they're pretty keen to set up Fight Stable in Menangle and also in Victoria. So I think that'll be great when that training centre is up and running. And just quickly, the new racing calendar has been proposed by a few in the industry, especially in Victoria and New South Wales. Now, talking about that Breeders' Challenge, it's held during the winter months. Do you think there will be a change in the calendar? And if so, will there be a change to your Breeders' Challenge series regarding the dates?
Well, naturally, if there's a change to the calendar, there would definitely be a change to the Breeders' Challenge as far as the time of the year goes. Unfortunately, those races, and the same with Melbourne, they're always in that coldest month. And if you get, you know, a cold, wet day, you sort of don't, you can't showcase it quite how you'd want to. So, look, to be quite honest with you, I'm a great believer in maybe having a look at that. I think it's something that would be very positive for the industry. But as I said before, change is always very difficult, and something like that would be difficult to get through. We'd have to have all of the states on board and possibly New Zealand as well. So there's a lot of work to be done, but I definitely think it's worth looking at and trying to push on, because I think it's a positive for the industry.
And just quickly, Rex, I've got Ian Gurney on the phone, but you've gone back to the miles as well for these Breeders' Challenges. Last year, they're over the 2300, the 2400, the finals, but back to mile racing. Was that a hard decision?
It's something that was debated every time this particular race series came up. But we just felt, you know, you've got the other races that are over 23 and 2400 for three-year-olds. We felt Breeders' Challenge Day, it's all about black type, it's all about speed. Menangle is a speed track, that's why we built a 1400-metre track, because it's perfect for mile racing. So we did feel as though it made sense to bring the three-year-olds back to the mile. So we're going to do that with all the heats and the semi-finals as well, all the smaller tracks, the closest to the mile, some of them are 1760 metres or whatever the case might be. But we did feel as though that was the way to go. But as I said, when you make these major decisions, it's not always easy, but we feel as though this was a common sense approach, taking into account, you know, we do have a track that does produce speed.
Thanks very much for your time, Rex, and great news with the Breeders' Challenge. Rex Horn there from Harness Racing News as well as the chairman. And have a good day, mate.
Thanks.
Rex Horn, the Harness Racing New South Wales chairman. I am Brisbane, so I've got Chris Barsby here with me. Chris, thanks for your time. Great time of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's perfect weather conditions up here right now, Gareth. It's a touch on the warm side, but it's good.
And I've got one of your favourite men on the phone. It's Ian Gurney. Ian, how are we, mate? Good morning to you.
Hey boys, how's it going?
Sorry for keeping you on hold just a little bit, mate, but you've been up nice and early working your star trio these days. You've not only got one champ, but you're building up a quite pretty handy team with our hijinks that took out the Big Good Johnny Sprint on Saturday night, and Mac Alert, wasn't it, a run and a half?
Yeah, no, he went good. He's pulled up a treat, Mac. He's still not right yet either, don't worry. He'll be spot on for next week, I reckon.
I think he's $41 in the Inter-Dominion. I think you told someone maybe to have something on it at $100. He's still a live chance in the Inter-Dominion. Do you think he'll appreciate those three runs in a week, Mac Alert?
I don't know. I don't know if he will or not, but if he can try and qualify without busting them too hard, I think he'll handle them. But if you get stuck in the death for a couple, or you got a lead and you get butchered, and like, it's probably hard to back up the next week, but if you can get into the final with a couple of soft ones under your belt and he draws the front, I don't think any horse would take a good horse to run around and put it that way.
You would have got good confidence from last week, and the fact that he won on the Tuesday in fast time and then backed it up on Saturday night with that slashing effort when second, that would no doubt give you plenty of confidence.
Oh, yeah, I've always had a big rap on the horse. Like, he just had so many small issues, and he's only had 50 starts, and it's always been in the wars, and I've just been spending that much time with him, and he's still not right, I'm telling you, but come next week, or definitely in Perth, he'll be 100% in Perth. He's just got little niggling issues, and he just takes a little sort now, because he's not the perfect confirmation of a horse, but we're slowly getting there.
And our hijinks, has he surprised you in his preparation? I know when he rocked up at your joint towards the last year. He was placed in the QPC, and then he went to Menangle and he competed well in lower class races. But this preparation, to my eye, Ian, he seems like he's improved quite dramatically.
He's just a perfect little stitch sprinter, and he's,
yep.
I was speaking to Chris the other day, and he said he looked at the photo and seen he had his ears pricked when he won Saturday night, but I've changed his feed. I feed him completely different to the others. I was having trouble with him, so his feed's completely different. And since I've done that, he's just jumped out of the ground.
Ian, what about Avanova? He's the star of your team. He's the, he was the reigning horse of the year. He's now a back-to-back champion with that title again on Sunday night. He was at the tail in the Be Good Johnny sprint. He had the bad draw. How's he come through that run?
Yeah, no, he's good. He changed real happy with his run. Like he went a slashing last half, and when you're 4 or 5 deep around the turn, they're running 52 on the fence. You have a look at the winner leader. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, all on the fence. So, just goes to tell you, when they're running that quick, you just got to be on the fence. And Matt come from fourth the fence, so, like, if you're out wide, you just can't make ground. Just hope I draw well this next 2 weeks. But over the longer trips, you can make a move early and get into the race. Over a mile is impossible.
You must be really looking forward to seeing Avanova, how he goes in the next couple of weeks, but also the Inter Dominion. He has been pretty close in some big races when he has travelled. He won the Newcastle Mile in brilliant fashion last season. He was behind Bowtie in the Group 1 Len Smith. But you must be really looking forward to taking your favourite horse on the road once again, Ian.
Yeah, take him and his two mates. They're all stable, yep, next to each other. They're all mates. I actually made them up on purpose because I knew I'd be taking them, but he's the best he's ever been. He's off his tree. I just finished working him about 10 minutes ago, and he's as good as he's ever been, so he just needs to draw an alley, that's all, because
like his trainer and owner.
Probably. When you're up in that grade and you're just in there just as good as you are, it's nearly impossible to beat someone when you've got to do a lot more extra work. You just got to hope you draw well, and if you don't, well, so be it.
Ian, just with Avanova, you've got the Gold Coast Cup Saturday night, then the QPC. Is there a possibility that he could start at Melton when you make the trip to Perth? Because you've got to go to Melton, or to Victoria, to get that flight to Perth. Is there a possibility that you could start him at Melton whilst you're in Melbourne?
I'll start three of them. On the 13th, I think it is, Friday the 13th. Hope it's better.
Hope you get a run, mate. They don't really like you, the Victorians, do they? Especially after what you said about them on Sunday.
Don't matter. Oh, I actually don't care. But they're all right. They're all right. They look after their own, but that's fine. But I'm going to race the three of them that night, then that's a fortnight into Perth, so that'd be perfect for the whole three of them.
Okay, mate. We've got Greg Bond on the line coming up after you. Have you got a message for him, mate? Because he's going to stay with you, and he's just a little bit worried that he might drink you under the table when you rock up for 3 weeks.
I put him away a couple weeks ago.
Did you?
You just tell him that Gurney said, when over there, I'm going to have heaps of pig ears with you.
All right then, mate. I don't know what that means. We might get Greg Bond. Thanks for that, Ian. Good luck on the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, boys. Thank you very much.
He does a great job, Ian Gurney. He's a very underrated trainer. He's got a wonderful strike rate, and the job that he does with his team is pretty good.
I'm tipping a pig's ear is a beer.
Oh, okay, thanks for that. I'm a non-drinker, see, Bondy. Greg Bond from Perth joins us on the phone. How are we, mate?
Yeah, very good, lads. It's a pretty hard act to follow the old mudguard, isn't it?
He is a hard man to follow. Now, you'll be representing New South Wales a little bit in your Inter Dominion in your own backyard, because you're the new trainer for a reason. How's he settled into the way Perth life, mate?
Yeah, look, he's only been here, got in Thursday morning early with the Irish horse, and both have settled in. But yeah, look, just him in particular, good. We've dropped him into the sand, and look, he's a professional, mate. He's done plenty of travelling, as you were all aware, and he's eating great, bright in the eye, and settling good. Probably put the straps on him Thursday morning. Luke had him screwed down pretty good. He kept him up to speed in between his last run and coming here. So, when he would have sort of let him tell us, but as soon as he's ready, he'll go to the races over here and hopefully hit a bit of form and head into the Inters ready to rock and roll.
Bondy, have you mapped out a plan for a reason at this stage? How many races do you want to get into him before the series actually starts?
Look, Steelo, I haven't really... I sort of... There's plenty of racing opportunities over here for him. I have sort of eyeballed. There is a race down at Pinjarra on a Monday that they've programmed a $30,000 stand with a maximum back mark of 10 metres and its preference in selection to the Inter-Dominion nominated horses. And as you know, for a reason, he ran third in the New Zealand Cup a couple of years ago. And I thought that might possibly be an ideal race for him to kick off with. But look, if he's ready to go earlier and we're happy with him and he's settled in good, you know, we'll just pick his races. But that's one in particular I do have in mind, yeah.
And Bondi, how much is an advantage for four reason? I know he wasn't in the best of form when he headed to your place at Tabcorp Park with Angle, but he is a big bull. Maybe a change of scenery would do him the world of good. But just heading over there early to Perth and climatising to the weather and the way they race over there, how much an advantage will that be to four reason? Because you've travelled a lot of horses, especially buying them from New Zealand. And I just went back at the last Inter-Dominion in Perth, and there were some superstars engaged in that final. You had Smoking Up. I know he galloped onto that first bend, and Mr. Feelgood didn't have the best of luck in that race as well. But you had Wranglin, Auckland Reactor. But filling the placings on that particular Inter-Dominion final were all local horses. Quinny won it, Lombo Navigator, and I think Hercules was third. So the locals are always hard to beat in their own backyard at Gloucester Park. There's something about that I think that we must take in note when you're having a punt in this year's Inter-Dominion.
Yeah, I think look, I think it does help. And like, you know, our drivers are very much attuned to the I guess our style of racing and our track and that sort of thing too. But you know, that's not taking anything away from the, you know, the better quality drivers that come, you know, like, you know, Luke McCarthy will come here and drive as good here as he will at Menangle sort of thing, those guys. So they're very professional. But, yeah, look, I think it's a helper. I think over here, those three runs in a week, the old format, you know, probably over here we train them a bit tougher maybe and they're probably a bit more seasoned and ready for that type of series. As against maybe some of the Eastern States horses, that they—that's probably not how they're tuned up to go. So it probably is an advantage. Probably the old series is probably more the advantage for us here. I think it will. Well, you know, from Luke's point of view and Belinda, they were thinking about retiring Frank, and I guess you're a long time retired, as we all know. So they felt that he was definitely worth a shot at the stumps, and he's here now and really happy how he settled in, and he's sound, his legs are good, and so there's no real excuses why he shouldn't come here and race well.
And just quickly, Bondi, how's my old mate the Idols going, Meadowbranch DJ?
Yeah, look, he settled in really good. He's licking the bin every night. They're just obviously he was in quarantine, and they've had a pretty well. We haven't had a checkered passage, but they've had a long journey to get here. And to their credit, the horse is in great nick. He hasn't put on a lot of weight, as in got too big weight wise from when he was in Ireland. So they've kicked a goal there for sure and for certain. And look, he's just been working in there. I think he's going to probably ask him to nick up a bit later on in the week. And I think at this stage their viewpoint was hoping maybe to go to run him in a trial Sunday fortnight or Sunday week if he's up to it, but definitely Sunday fortnight, and then probably try and have one or two starts before the series here. He's a very lightly assessed horse in Australia. He's an MOC2, so they can sort of handpick a race or two, maybe one at Pinjarra, one at Gloucester Park on those country meets, and tune him up for the series.
Oh, mate, can't wait to see the Irish horse in Perth, and there's no excuses if people say Perth's too far away if the Irish horse can make it. Good luck, mate, with For a Reason especially, and the next couple of months as we get closer to that big carnival in Perth.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
There we go. Greg Bond on the phone from Perth. We've got Karen Manning on the phone from Great Western in Victoria. Good morning to you, Karen. Thanks for your time.
Hi, how are you, Josh?
Good, thanks, Kes. How's Arden Rooney going? I thought his last run was his best run this campaign. I think you're heading to Swan Hill on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought, like you said, his last run was sort of something back to what he his best, I think. Took him a few runs to sort of get back in action. But, yeah, he certainly, with that run, I was very happy with it. And sort of Swan Hill was a better option, I think, just a bit more practice from the stand. It's pretty tough off the handicap, but, he said, I've got to go in there and see what happens.
Karen, just with the Swan Hill feature this weekend, the fact that we lost the better part of that meeting last week at Melton, did the nomination surprise you as far as depth for this race this weekend?
Yeah, it is quite strong. Yeah, last few years been strong, but this is certainly a lot nicer field, I think. So it even makes it tougher for Rudy again. But, if you've got to go to New Zealand, you've sort of got to go well in that race. And I guess we'll see after Saturday what's happening. But I'm really happy with how he's going now.
So, Karen, New Zealand definitely on the cards. You're just going to weigh it up after each run to see how he is going?
Yeah, well, sort of last week was sort of a bit of a see how he went, and because he went so well, we sort of thought, well, we'll press on for New Zealand. And I guess, as you said, if he sort of doesn't do what we expect Saturday night, we might have to rethink it. But we sort of tentatively booked a bit of everything now, so yeah. It's looking likely, but certainly, as you know, horses can change your mind.
And last preparation, when you look back, he won the Hunter Cup in brilliant fashion. Then after that victory, he continued to go on to basically another level. I thought his Geelong and Mildura Cup efforts were brilliant. If he turns up to New Zealand in that form, Karen, he's going to be very hard to beat, especially the way that I've been watching a little bit of the lead-up races to the New Zealand Cup of recent time. How confident are you? Is he not that far off that form?
Yeah, I think so. After his first two, I was happy with the runs, but probably slightly disappointed in a way. So I just, I really worked him hard, put the hobbles on him at home and worked him hard, and I sort of saw the result last week, and I think he's probably better again. So if he can, like you said, if he can bring that form to New Zealand, he's certainly going to be right in it. But the lead-up race last week, probably they went very hard in that, probably sort of that sort of suits him, I suppose. So hopefully if he can do something like his best at Swan Hill, it gives a bit more confidence going over.
He's raced by Merv Butterworth. Merv races a lot of horses right throughout Australasia, in particular with New Zealand. He's got a lot of horses over there. How excited is he, Karen, about having a horse in the New Zealand Cup?
He's pretty keen. He's he's got his flights booked, so he's hoping Rudy makes it now, but he loves his horses, and he looks after them really well, and does everything he can for them. So he's a great owner to have, and he loves having a nice horse.
Well, Karen, best of luck with Arnhem Rooney on Saturday night, but especially hopefully he makes it to the New Zealand Cup, because I think he's a great chance if you can get him there in the form that we saw him last preparation. And look, in his last run, I don't think he's too far off. And it'd be great to see an Aussie beat the Kiwis on their home circuit, Kes. And you're the girl
that would
to do
be
it.
Lovely. Let's hope. Thank you.
There's Karen Manning on the phone, Chris Barsby. She's a star. And hopefully Arnhem Rooney makes it to that New Zealand Cup. Just quickly, the Gold Coast Cup. The draw will be out later today. $100,000 race. Who's your tip before the draw? I know it's hard.
Well, Philadelphia Man's the obvious one. He's going to be the additional runner this week. He's due to fly in on Thursday night. Yep. Of course, this is the horse that came, saw and conquered during the Winter Carnival, won the Blacks a fake. He's part of that all-conquering stable, Emma Stewart, Clayton Tonkin, Gavin Lang, booked for the drive. So if he arrives safely without any glitches, he's clearly the horse to beat. Modern Rule is expected to arrive this week as well for Jimmy Rattray.
They're the two major additions to the field from the Be Good Johnny Sprint. Had a chat to Crandell Getty today, just asking about Chris, and he said there's no problems regarding that star. But I told him, he goes, what about me little horse bit of legend? Isn't it flying? I said, it is, Cran. He goes, I just need a mobile for him. I said, well, there's $300,000 up for grabs here in Queensland. And I think he was running around to see if he can get a late nomination, then sort out some flights. But you might have to get onto the phone to him, because bit of a legend could be a surprise.
He just doesn't handle the stand.
No, he doesn't.
He just doesn't handle the stand.
But he'd be competitive if he turns up here.
Absolutely.
Week.
His last two runs have been really good over there. So if he did make the trip, probably unlikely, he'd be in with a shot.
And you'll join me for a special in the gig tonight, Sky Racing 2 at 6 o'clock, live from Albion Park.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks for that, Chris Barsby. I'll catch you in the gig tonight. Cozzy, thanks for your help today, mate.
Sure,
we had a big
Gareth.
Show. Jimmy Rattray, he does it to me all the time. He says, I'll be right, I'll be right. And then he doesn't answer his phone. We'll have to start finding him, I reckon.
I think so. That's it. Yeah, or make him wear the pink suit.
Yeah, that is it. Actually, I will do that to him.
Good on you,
Gareth. All right, Cozzy. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate. Gareth Hall joining us there. Now it is at 11:02.